Good morning, y'all. Everybody doing okay? Good to see you this morning. Welcome to our visitors. You find yourself in the middle of a two-part series here that we started last Sunday on the 4th of July. It's a crazy day to start it, but really, I think maybe a good day. Whole issue of homosexuality. Why even deal with that? Well, if you haven't read the news, like I said, it's in our face. What is our position as believers, as a church, with regards to practicing homosexual? What is our position with regards to gay marriage? We all have a position, possibly, and we all have an opinion, I guess you could say. But as I talked about last time, and indeed submit to you this time, we cannot know where we stand until we know where God stands. And the problem with, well, there's several problems. One, because we don't speak on it, or we haven't spoken on it as Bible-believing churches, at least correctly. We have allowed ourselves by default. We've basically been placed in the category of one or the other. And we saw last time we were here one of our goals is to avoid the extremes. Our purpose last time was simply to figure out where God stands on the subject of homosexuality, endeavoring not to make the mistake of many, which is basically to either on the one hand cave into it, on the other hand, to bash homosexuals or the homosexual community. Our goal is neither to cave nor to bash the homosexual, but to stand where God stands on this subject. And so that was our purpose last time. Together this time, we're going to be answering the question of where, not only do we where we stand, but where do we go from here? What is our response to the practicing homosexual in the situation? Am I not up there? Nope. It says I am here. It just doesn't want to go. Oh, let me restart it. But it should have, you should see some dead fish on the screen if it was. Yeah, maybe. Something's happening. We're up? Okay. Technology is such a great thing. Like I said, our goal is neither to cave in, as some groups do. Some major denominations have caved to the whole subject of homosexuality, including appointing them as pastors, as elders, performing same-sex ceremonies within their church buildings. That's a cave in. That's not where God stands. The other side, of course, is like the Westboro group who say that we should kill all homosexuals, Westboro Baptist Church, which is certainly a slam to any person that would call themselves a Baptist, especially including me. We looked last time, though, again, where does God stand on this subject? We looked last time at six different passages, both Old and New Testament, and we saw that 100% of the time, homosexuality is condemned as a sin. There's no exceptions to it. So that is where God stands. God stands with His Word. His Word is just like your Word. You give me your Word, what is that? That's your character. That's who you are. If who you are is different than your word cannot be trusted. You follow me? God's no different than that. God gives us His Word, and this is His character, and this is where He stands. Now, that may not be where you stand on the subject of homosexuality, and I will say this, that's your prerogative. It is your prerogative, but let me just say this very clearly. Regardless of where you stand, let God stand where He does, and don't make the Bible say something that it does not say, clearly does not say, because that's neither honest, nor is it kind or responsible to the homosexual. God calls it sin, but you call it something different, and you're patting Him on the back and saying it's all okay. That's not kind. That's not compassion. That is a lie, because you're contradicting exactly what God says is not true. Or you're agreeing with what God says is not true, and that's just simply not right. You might argue that God's gospel in the Bible is one of love and acceptance and non-judging and forgiveness. And you know what I would say to that? I absolutely 100% agree with you. The gospel of God in the Bible is one of forgiveness, non-judging, love, acceptance. Except, guys, it's to an exclusive crowd. Neither the homosexual nor the heterosexual is in. Everyone, no matter who they are, have to come in through God's Son. If you want to approach God, you have to approach God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't care what sexual preference you are. You must come to God through His Son. So, yes, it is a gospel of acceptance and of forgiveness and of non-judgmentalness, but it's to those who truly believe in His Son, agreeing with God in repentant faith. It applies to those. Again, the convenient thing would be to say, just simply do away with the whole notion of sin. And if we do that, well, then basically we rid ourselves of the biblical gospel, so no one is saved and no one is forgiven, and there is no truth, and you and I sit in judgment upon what truth really is. That would be the convenient thing, but Paul tells us in no uncertain terms where the gospel stands on things. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, we looked at it last time, and Paul just lists this whole list, among other things on this list is homosexuality, cross-dressing, other things that are on here that we deal with in our society today, and a lot of other sins that we're maybe more familiar with that we've classed into a different category, which is a shame. Paul says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Maybe we should first deal with that question. Do you not know that? And then he goes on to list them. Which, by the way, you make this list, and if you disagree with me, I could talk with you later. And you make this list. You may not, homosexuality might be, not be your deal, but I guarantee I got you, or the Bible does, on one of these, at least one. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Like I said, this is Bruce Jenner, cross-dressing, transvestite. It's nothing new, guys. I mean, Bruce is not doing, you know, they're giving him an award for something that's been going on for a very long time. This is not something that's new. 13 of 14 Roman Caesars were homosexual, cross-dressers, married and given in marriage to different men, married his wives, married his husbands, depending on the marriage that they took. I mean, so this is the day and age in which Paul's writing this. Nothing new under the sun. So when he says homosexual and when he says effeminate or cross-dresser, he knows exactly what he's talking about. The same as he does for thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such, he says, there's the gospel message, were, pay careful attention to the verb, some of you. So the church at Corinth was filled with former all of those things. So is the church of Jesus Christ today. Notice the message of grace and of love it produces here. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. I mean, if there's not a message of acceptance and of love and of forgiveness and of unjudgmentalness, I don't know a better one than this right here. There is not a better one. The gospel of Jesus Christ is to every single person, all of them sinners. He lists them all. That's not all the sins. These are the bigger categories. And we all fall into some of these and maybe many of these categories. Sinners in need of being washed, in need of being cleansed, in need of coming, it says, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus. Like I said, if you plan to come to God, you must come to Him through His Son. Heterosexual, homosexual, those are non-issues. The issue is sin and that we are sinners, and sinners only come to God by the grace that's offered through God's Son, Jesus Christ. He is the door. Yes, yes, the gospel is a gospel of forgiveness, of love, of acceptance, of non-judgmentalness, but it's for those who come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter your sexual preference. You must come to the Father through the Son. He paints a beautiful picture of love and acceptance here. If we lose, listen, His grammar, we lose the gospel as well. If we change, emphasis mine here, obviously. If we change such were some of you to such are some of you, as, by the way, some translations do, the all-inclusive translations, which, by the way, are inaccurate and are not honest. Again, they're making God's word say something that it does not say. They say, well, it doesn't say it in the Greek. Well, you need to have a Greek education, because I'm telling you, the Greek, when it says it, it says it. When it doesn't say it, it doesn't say it. Paul wrote in Greek, Koine Greek. It is very clearly past tense. Such were some of you. But if we change that, which again, can we do that? Yes. You can call down, up, and up, down. You can do whatever you want to. That is your prerogative. Be as crazy as you want to be. But if we change it, just understand what you lose. If such are some of you, then no one's washed, no one's sanctified, no one's justified. We lose Paul's grammar. We lose Paul's gospel. We change, we shift Paul's grammar. Not only have we shifted what Paul wrote, but we've shifted what the Holy Spirit through Paul has inspired and written and given to us. So not only have we changed Paul's words, we've also changed God's words, which, by the way, if you change someone's words, you also change who he is. And God never changes. It's not something you and I want to be involved in. Again, this may not, you may not like this. You may not agree. You may say, I don't believe it. And I would say, you know what? You have a right to be that way. But you do not have a right to say the Bible says something that it clearly does say. That's dishonest. That is not kind. That is not compassionate. The Bible clearly does teach on this subject. It makes it perfectly clear. If we lose the grammar, we lose the meaning. If we shift the words, like I said, we shift everything. To not say what God clearly says about sin, the sin of homosexuality, is neither honest nor kind or compassionate. Basically, when you do that, this is what we're doing. We're telling the sinner, homosexual or otherwise, that they can live a life without God. And that is a lie. No one can. Everyone needs God. You name the sin or the sinner or the multiplicity of sins, they need the Savior. You change the Savior's words, you change who He is, He basically, for them, ceases to exist. They live a life without Him. They live a life based upon a God who does not exist because you've convinced them of a word that's different than what actually the Word of God truly teaches. Again, of course, the buzzword is tolerance. And to be certain, hear me clearly, there is not a being in the universe more tolerant than God. Not one. Anybody here ever sinned? Come on. You know what the penalty of sin is? Not just physical death. Eternal death. Where not only does God do away with the body, but He also does away from the soul, separating itself, him from Himself forever and ever in a place called hell. Are you currently there? Check your watch. It's hot outside, but this ain't hell. So I'm telling you, we've got a God who is tolerant of sinners, isn't He? Praise God, He's tolerant of me. God is so tolerant of sinners, but we must not confuse tolerance of sinners with consent to their sin. It's not the same thing. He's not consenting to our sin. God takes you exactly where you are. You need to change nothing to come to God. Just simply trust the Savior. Turn yourself over to Him because He will change your life. He'll take you right where you are, but understand this, He will not leave you where you are. God doesn't run that way. He doesn't work that way. Again, to say what God says, to say what God says does not make us homophobic. Not any more than it makes us idolater-phobic or fornicator-phobic or adulterer-phobic or thief-phobic, a drunkard, a reviler, a swindler, or a covetous-phobic. We're not phobic of any of these things or any of these types, quote-unquote, of people. They're not types. They're all the same. Sinners in need of grace that comes only through God's Son, Jesus Christ. So let's stop categorizing sin and start preaching to sinners and saying, listen, Jesus is the answer. I'm a sinner just like you. You need Jesus because I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. And God is so tolerant. He really is. But to be certain, if we claim to be the children of God, we are obligated, listen, to tell the truth about God and about what He says. You claim to be a child of God, you're obligated to tell the truth about Him and about what He says. So be very careful. So determining where we stand on the subject of homosexuality, how do we respond to it? Gay marriage, Supreme Court of the United States, like I said, all these things. What is our response? Well, the number one response, and maybe the most important thing for us to do, sorry about that. The number one most important thing for us to do is deal with ourselves. So what is our response to homosexuals? The response to homosexual is to clean up your own house. Rid ourselves as churches, as Christians, of hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy, a hypocrite is not a saved person or a Christian person who sins. It is a saved person or a Christian person who gives off the aura or in some way indicates that they don't sin. Or that they're somehow a better person than some other sinner, categorizing themselves. Oh, I sin, but not like him. Not like her. Says who? What verse in the Bible are you getting this from? We need to rid ourselves of hypocrisy. One of the reasons why homosexuals don't come to our churches for answers is because they feel like they're judged. We're better sinners than them. Yeah, better. Way better. We do it a whole lot more, a whole lot deeper. And we cover it up with hypocrisy. Yeah, we're way better. Like I said last Sunday, we don't want them sinners in here, right? That's the voice of hypocrisy speaking. Sinners, that's what we are. That's what we do. That is our ministry. That is our call, to reach, bring in sinners, introduce them to our Savior. We don't have any other purpose. Don't want them sinners in here. Wow, like I said, then you need to call Jesus and tell them we're shutting the doors, because he's going to shut them if that's your attitude. Just save him the trouble. This is, to be certain, churches are to be a sinner's hospital where you come in and are treated by the chief physician, the head, the great physician. That's what this place is. That's what church is. You come in and you're treated by the great physician himself. He comes in and he deals with this issue of sin, deals with the thing that has separated you from him and his Father. He deals with that. He dealt with that on the cross. But when you come to him, it deals with you personally. Personally, you're brought in. So you come into this sinner's hospital. This is a sinner's hospital where we're treated by the great physician. It's also, listen to this, it's also a place where we come together. It's a treatment facility. We come together to deal with our addiction to sin. You know that sin is addicting? You know, one of the greatest examples of sin is, of course, physical or chemical addiction. One of the best examples I can possibly think of. If you don't understand or forgotten what sin like, get to know a person that's addicted. That is sin. The reason why sin is and addiction are so close to each other, because at the core of addiction, of course, is sin. The Bible tells us if you're a sinner, you're an addict. Oh, the pastor's calling us all kinds of stuff, right? No, Jesus did. In fact, he didn't call you just an addict, he called you a slave. Look at what it says. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." How many sins? We got sinners in here? So what are you? You're a slave. You are a, for our purposes, a sin addict. You are currently in recovery, having come to the physician who only can heal you, but he's teaching you, and we're coming together to make ourselves accountable to overcome sin. Is that not right? Well, it most definitely is right. It definitely is. Sin works just like addiction. Sin is addicting, it's controlling, it's blinding, it takes more and more and gives less and less. Homosexuality is not my sin. But to be certain, I'm a sinner. And I was born with a propensity to sin. And as soon as I got an opportunity, I sinned. And then in those gateway sins, if you will, led me to bigger and meaner sins. And some came in by permission. And some came in without permission. But it has steeped me further and further into my addiction into sin. And the same is true for all of us. The church is intended to be a place for recovering sinners. We're recovering from sin. I'm recovering. You're recovering. Some of us have greater sobriety, if you will, from our addictions. Some of us are come to church one day sober from their sins. But you're here. It's great. It's great. Come and make yourself more accountable to this group. We're all recovering. We've come to the great physician who's healed our relationship with the Father, and now we're trying to heal our own selves of the practices and the things that we've allowed to grow into our lives. Come and be a part of us. Come and be encouraged. Make yourself accountable. Together, so that we can be overcome these things. We are sinners of all varieties, heterosexual sinners, homosexual sinners, alcoholic sinners, drug-addicted sinners, idolatrous sinners, swindler sinners, liar sinners, sinners by what we say, sinners by what we don't say, sinners by what we do, sinners by what we don't do. We're addicted to sin here, and we're in a recovery process. Like I said, some have greater sobriety than others. Some have greater victory than others. But it better be careful, those of us who have greater victory, that we not look down on those who don't have as much. Because as they are, so once were we. Is that not right? And remember that though we were low on the ladder at one time, and maybe you're higher up, greater victory, greater sobriety in our sin, nonetheless, someone above us at some point in time helped us up, did they not? Remember them. Remember them as you look around and have a tendency to hypocrisy to those lower on the ladder than you who are recovering from sin. Be very careful. Be very careful. Some of us, like I said, have a lot of sobriety. Some of us don't. But let's not look down on those who don't. Reminds me of a story, speaking of hypocrisy and the addictive nature of sin, of an AA group that I heard about. AA group that was meeting, and they didn't want drug addicts in their meeting. Only alcoholics. And it caused a pretty big stink because, you know, well, they're both chemicals. They're both addicting. We're only alcoholics are allowed in this meeting. This is what they said. Finally, their answer simply was this. We don't want those despicable drug addicts in our meeting. And I heard that. And I was like, really? So let's say you're respectable drunks in here. Is that right? We're respectable drunks in this place. Those crazy drug addicts, we don't want them in here. No. Same thing happens in churches. It's no different than us saying, giving the impression that we don't want certain classes or types of sins in here. It reeks of hypocrisy. Few things stink worse than hypocrisy. No, it may not be your sin, but I know one thing, you are a sinner. And sin has made us all the same. So since we're all the same in sin, and we're all in the sameness in sin and universal need of the Savior and ridding our lives of sin that Jesus has saved us from and made us right with God as opposed to, we need to be careful how we treat other sinners. Be careful with regards to homosexuality, what you say. Coarse joking, rude names, they're out of place. Not any more than they'd be in place for any other sinner or sin. We need to rid them from our vocabulary. That's hypocrisy. It is. Unkind comments, malicious names, demeaning jokes, these have no place. So what do we need to do first with regards, with respect in response to homosexuality and gay marriage? The first thing we need to do is fix ourselves. One of the main problems they have with us is a legitimate problem. It's legitimate. We're standing in the way of them coming to the Savior. Don't be that person. Don't be that church. This phrase, I don't know who said it, but I love it. Says there's so much bad in the best of us, so much good in the worst of us, that it behooves most of us not to speak about the rest of us. I totally agree. So number one, rid ourselves of hypocrisy. Number two, remember that everyone matters to God. Everyone, homosexual, heterosexual, were created in God's image. God loves them. God is tolerating you and your sin and also theirs, because neither one of you are in hell, which is what you deserve. Number two, remember that everyone matters to God. Number three, pray for the person caught in the sin of homosexuality, that their eyes would be opened. Pray for them. But remember, it is not your job to convict them of their sins. They know where you stand on the subject. Let it go with that. Preaching to homosexuals or any other sinner has its limits. It really does. Once they know where you stand, let it go and let the Spirit work. You do not convict of sin. The Spirit does those things. Pray for them. Our work, number four and finally, our work is to love them, to reach out to them, to move from the position of it's us against them. So it's us sinners against them sinners. No. To a position of us for them and what's best for them. Like I said, God is the most tolerant of all. There's not a more tolerant being in the entire universe. He certainly loves unconditionally, but he does not approve of our behavior unconditionally. So likewise, we have to love the sinner, hate the sin, as they say. Love the sinner, and at the same time, without showing approval to the things that they do. Be very careful. The last time we were together, I ended with something I'm going to end the same way this time. Let's remember that the opposite of homosexuality is not heterosexuality. The opposite of homosexuality is holiness. Holiness. Holiness that is offered to the heterosexual and homosexual sinner, to the swindler, to the reviler, to the drunkard, to the slanderer, to the cross-dresser, to the anything that might be out there that disagrees with holiness. The opposite of any of those things is not just something different. No, it's holiness. It comes only through God's Son, Jesus Christ. You must trust Him, place your faith in Him, believe on Him, and then walk as we recover together from our own personal sins, our own proclivities that have, were the reason why Christ was hung on the cross. Holiness. You need it, I do too. So do they. I want to ask you if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And one more time to deal with that question of holiness. 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 There will not be a single soul in heaven that is not also holy. If you're a sinner, you're not that. The only way I can be made and you can be made holy is to come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you placed your faith in the only Savior, the only one who can rescue you from a life of sin? Have you placed your faith in him? I'm not asking you to change a single thing. I'm just asking you to turn to the Savior. Quit trying to save yourself. Quit trying to think that your good deeds somehow are going to outweigh your bad deeds. And turn to the Savior. Would you call on him today? Would you say to him, Jesus, save me. Forgive me for my sins. Make me right with the Father. And then for those of us who already have trusted Christ, some of us, like I said, have great victory in sin, the area of sin, great sobriety, long-term away from the things that used to control our lives. But still, it's always right behind us. We could always fall right back into it. Are you allowing him to sanctify you completely? Are you remembering that this is a recovery place? All sinners welcome here. And God has called us heterosexual, homosexual, whatever sin there is, he's called us all to holiness. God, I thank you for that call. Thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for the power to do that through your Son, Jesus Christ, to live a holy life, to say no to sin and yes to righteousness, to be a slave to you, to slave to righteousness, and not a slave to whatever sin binds us, controls us. Thank you so much, God. Thank you for the freedom that we have through your Son. We pray, God, as we look at this sin of homosexuality as any other sin, God, give us wisdom. Give us kindness. Give us compassion. Give us love. Give us arms that are open. Help us, God, to change the image that we've purveyed out there that has shut the doors in many respects to many like these. Forgive us, God. Thank you for speaking to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.